cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." And now Gideon is going to read to you all Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creations. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Colossians 1:15-20.
Isaiah chapter 9 is where we'll be. Thanks, baby dumpling, little buddy. You guys did great. Isaiah chapter 9. Before I read verses 1 through 7, I just want to welcome you guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's great to have you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us during this Advent season. It's really, really, really good to have you in the house with us. And so, thank you. If it's your first time with us or your 50th time with us, I just want to briefly call your attention to the welcome card or the digital connect card. It's on our homepage. You can go there and check it out, stcharlotte.org. Just fill that out. Your name and email is more than sufficient for us to follow up with you in a respectful way. And then if you've been here lots of times, you know the drill, but you can use that card as just one other way to communicate with us. Prayer requests that you have, maybe ways you're looking to get plugged in. If you have any needs during this Advent or holiday season, that's just one of the ways you can communicate with us. And so use that card as it is helpful to you. And again, if you're new here, if it's your first time, we're honored that you would spend a Sunday with us and worshiping King Jesus, and certainly hope that you're blessed by your time and that you would come back and continue to join us through this Advent season. Thanks again to the King's Church. King's Church, that's another one of our partners. Life Church team, thank you guys for leading us this morning. Look forward to hearing from you guys more later before we roll out this morning. All right, Isaiah chapter 9. Before we jump in, kids, you know the drill. If you're under 18, I need to hear from you loud and proud and excited because we celebrate Jesus all year long, but to this week, this season especially, we are pumped and excited because our King is born. And so on three, parents, help them out. Teenagers, family, friends, help them out. I need to hear you say, the King is born, all right? The King is born. Y'all ready for that? All right, on three. One, two, three. Yes. All right, King is born. That's the name of our Advent series, Isaiah chapter 9. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is God's word for us today. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you came just as you promised you would. You came, you were born unto us, born of a Virgin Mary. And Lord, that you lived a perfect life. And we know that you were brutally executed on a cross. You died in our place for our sin. You were our substitute. You took the wrath that we deserved. You were buried in a borrowed tomb, and then you rose again victorious. And Lord, I praise you that after you rose again victorious, you ascended to heaven. And Lord, right now you hear us. You're alive. You're well. You're ruling and reigning. And just as you promised you would come once, you've promised to come again. And so during this season of Advent, during this season of hope, we don't hope flippantly as if maybe something might happen. We hope with eager expectation, just as sure as the sun will rise every morning. We know that you're coming again to make all things right. And so we hope in you today and every day, because you're glorious and you're good. And so as our hearts hope and anticipate this season, I pray that they would be content, they'd be satisfied, they'd be overjoyed in you, the promised King who was born unto us, so that we might rejoice and be glad all the days of our life and into all eternity. God, do your work in your way in our hearts and in our midst today. We ask it all in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, so this season was a lot like last Advent holiday season, where we've had a rough. Many people are perhaps tired of hearing about COVID-related things. Some people still want to talk about it, but nonetheless, what we can all agree on is that we've had an exhausting 18 to 24 months. It's been exhausting for all of us for lots of different reasons. So last year, and again this year, we've seen trends where people are setting up their Christmas tree like before Halloween, right? They're super excited. Walmart and Hobby Lobby have been after this for a while, and the rest of the nation just catching up, all right? COVID's kind of pushed us into this, hey, we just need to see something encouraging. So let's get the little lights twinkling, you know what I'm saying? Let's get them twinkling as soon as we can get them twinkling. So we can have some hope, some joy, some eager expectation, something fun to look forward to in our lives. And this has been the season last year, and again this year it's repeated. And what we see in so many of our desires for hope, for joy, for eager expectation, for something to break into the darkness is really our ultimate desire for a king to come and rule and reign and make all things right. See, COVID is really just further exposed and put on display the darkness and the brokenness and the something wrongness with this world. And what we're looking for is someone to make all things right and new and better. And see, while we've had a rough two years, if you will, the nation of Israel, the people of God, had a rough several hundred years. And Isaiah the prophet is speaking into that context, where they're going, man, it's dark, it's broken, there's war, there's exile, there's death, there's disease, there's hundreds of years of brokenness and disruption to the way things were. And it's into this people of God that Isaiah the prophet speaks and promises, hey, y'all, don't lose hope. A king is coming. There is one who is coming who's going to make all things right. He's going to make all things new. He's going to fix all the brokenness. You remember what God said back to Father Abraham? He is going to fulfill that one day. And this is the context into which Isaiah speaks. And we'll see here in a moment as we talk about the king who is promised, we will see that that Jesus is finally, ultimately, this promised king who shows up. And he was born of a virgin. You guys know the Christmas story, but it's beautiful and magnificent and glorious because this king was promised hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before. And then God made good on his promise and brought about a king who would make all things right again. And so today, my hope, my aim, my prayer today and every day this Advent season, and really every day of our lives, is that we would be a people whose hearts are full of praise, and that we give praise to our promised King during this and every season. That we would give praise to our promised King during this and every season. So I want to look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, and we're going to focus in on verse 2 and then verses 6 and 7. We'll focus verse on verse 2, and we'll see that the king is promised. Then we'll see that the king is the perfect gift. And then finally, we'll see the king brings peace by his passion. That's a lot of P's. I'm sorry, Joe Helton. Hopefully, you can still be my friend. But the king is promised first here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Again, the context of Isaiah is the people are in turmoil. There's oppression. There's scattering of the people of God. There's death. There's disease. There's exile. There's all sorts of incredibly hard things going on in the life of the people of God during this time. And what Isaiah does is he steps in and he says, hey, there's going to come a great light into the darkness. Into the darkness there's going to come a great light. The king is promised. And what, not to go too nerdy on you, not that I'm that big of a nerd, but not to go too nerdy on you, to understand a bit of biblical prophecy, a lot of times what's happened is don't think about like Nostradamus, like trying to look into the crystal ball and look ahead and see like, hey, here are the exact events that are going to play out in the next 40 to 50 years or 500 years. That's not quite what biblical prophecy is like. Biblical prophecy, particularly in Isaiah and a lot of the prophets that are looking ahead to Jesus, what they're doing is they're saying, hey, let's look back at all that God promised us and then look ahead for what is to come with great hope and anticipation that God is faithful and he is going to fulfill all of his promises to us. And so for us, we got to look back briefly so that we can understand what Isaiah is talking about. Because in Genesis, you know the story. If you've been around us or the Bible very long, perhaps you haven't been around very long and you don't know the story. Either way is fine. But we know that God creates all things amazing and good and glorious in Genesis 1 and 2. And then what happens in Genesis 3 is, very shortly after creation, the serpent comes, he rolls up on the scene, he slithers on in, and he convinces Eve and Adam to eat the fruit that God had forbidden them to eat. What happens is they do that. They disobey God. They eat the fruit. The fall happens. Everything is broken and cursed. But in that moment, even then, in Genesis 3:15, we have the proto-evangelion, the first gospel, where we see that God promises a redeemer, a snake crusher to come. In Genesis 3:15, there's one who is promised to come and crush the head of the serpent. And then even after that, what we see is this imagery played out even more, where what God does is, if you remember the story, he kills the animals so that Adam and Eve could be clothed, right? This is a picture of there's going to be sacrifice, there has to be death, there has to be blood, so that your sins and your brokenness and your shame can be covered. All of this is pointing to what we know now as King Jesus. But this is the promise that's made. And then we fast forward to Genesis chapter 12. And really, before we even get to Genesis chapter 12, what we see is there's this promise of a snake crusher, a deliverer. And very quickly, what we see is Adam and Eve, what happens? They have Cain and Abel, right? And so they're looking, Eve's looking, she's wondering, is this the snake crusher? Is this the son that's going to be born from me? Is this what's going to make all things right? And what happens right out of the gate? Cain and Abel. Things don't go well, right? Right? There's murder right out of the gate. And so all immediately there's, hey, maybe God said someone's going to come and from my seed and crush the head of the serpent. It's not Cain, not Abel, not Seth. Then we look, fast forward all the way. We know that the flood happens. And then we get to Abraham, right? Abraham, what does God do? It's Abraham. Come on out. Come on out of that land. And I'm going to, in Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to make you into a great nation. From you, from your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And the promise continues to go, right? And then we know after Abraham, he's not the one to fulfill it, all right? All of his people aren't the ones to fulfill it. There's sin, there's corruption, there's darkness. And so much of the biblical story is showing us, hey, there's this promised seed that's coming, but every single generation we see disruption and sin and brokenness, and we're going, maybe this is it, maybe this is it, maybe this is it. Nope, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. And this is the regular rhythm until we get to King David. King David rolls up on the scene. And King David is finally, he's somewhat righteous and good. He's a man after God's own heart, and he slays the giant. But then what happens? He gets into being the king after being on the run for all those years and being a righteous man, and he's just as corrupt as the rest of them. He commits adultery, kills his buddy, to cover it up, not great. And then from King David on, what we see is that God re-ups on the promise. David, from your family, from your lineage, a king will come to rule and reign and make all things right. It's going to be glorious and beautiful, magnificent. He will not be like all of these other faulty kings. He will be perfect. And then we see all the kings. I hope if you're a Christian that you've read some of the Bible. If you haven't, I would certainly encourage you to. If you're not a Christian, I'd certainly encourage you to read it as well. But if you read through Kings and Chronicles, like it's not like fairy tale type stuff with happy endings. It's like corruption after corruption after corruption after corruption after corruption, right? It's all these kings that are jacked up, disobeying God, and it's like they're having a competition to see who could be the worst one. Complete disobedience and rebellion. But God promised, David, from your line will come a king to fix all the brokenness, to crush the head of the serpent. And see, here God's people are in the midst of this, after all these rulers and kings that are broken and messed up and jacked up, and now they're in captivity. They've been taken over by the Assyrians. The Assyrians are on the way. They've been taken into Babylonian captivity. Things are not well. They are 150 years or so into complete and total darkness and destruction. And Isaiah speaks in and says, hey, y'all, listen. A king is coming. A king is coming. Hope, because God will fulfill his promise. And then there's another several hundred years of silence and brokenness and hurt and pain until finally what Isaiah says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. See what happens is in Isaiah, and some of this, I don't know if you guys know the Jesus Project guys, but they're super, super helpful in understanding kind of the grand storyline of the Bible. And some of this is coming straight from them and some of my Old Testament professors. And so I don't even know who to give all of it credit to, but nonetheless, it's not all coming from me. Like, I'm not that brilliant. I'm not really brilliant at all. There's a lot of really brilliant guys out there that can help us understand the Bible, and these guys do. And so what the Bible Project guys help us understand is that really what we see in Isaiah, and Ray Ortland and other great commentaries help us see that what we see in Isaiah throughout the book is there's this looking back at all that I just discussed. There's this coming king. He's on the way. Look forward to him. And then we see all these kings that jack it up. And what we see in Isaiah is kind of this highlighted king in Hezekiah, who's actually amidst all the broken, nasty kings. And if you read Kings and Chronicles and Isaiah, you see that Hezekiah is kind of the light. He's the one who stands out. He's a beautiful, glorious king. He's faithful to Jesus. And so everybody's like, maybe he's the guy. But then Hezekiah does the same thing and he blows it. And so there's all these prophecies here in Isaiah where they're looking back and they're looking ahead and they're going, maybe it's Hezekiah. Maybe he's the guy. But then he blows it. And so Isaiah closes in chapter 39 with Hezekiah blowing it. And then 40 to 66, the second half of Isaiah, is really this picture of this kind of coming glorious kingdom of what is going to happen. And then it closes, and the people of God are still in darkness. They're still in darkness. And so they're hanging on by hope, looking ahead that, hey, we're in darkness, but a light is coming. Hope is coming. The king is coming. And this is how Isaiah ends. And this is where the beauty of what my amazing wife just read in John 1. Isaiah, the people have walked in darkness, have seen a great light. Then we see in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light, verse 5 says, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This light that was promised from Isaiah. I know I'm doing a lot of work here to get us from Isaiah to John to Jesus. But we got to see that what happened is this beautiful, glorious light that was promised in Isaiah. The king that was promised back in Genesis 3:15. That was throughout the Old Testament and the people of God's history. All of them were going, where's the snake crusher? Where's he at? Where is the light that's going to come? And then the king is promised and he is finally born. When Jesus rolls up on the scene and the word of God says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. This king is promised. He's promised. And God makes good on his promises. And this is gloriously good news for us, right? Like it's not, I think 2 weeks ago I said that this was going to be my last college football illustration. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I'm sorry. Man, I'm really, really, really sorry that y'all have to put up with genuinely. I wish I had better illustrations. I got like my family and college football and 2 or 3 stories. That's it. That's like what I got. But college football is the gift that keeps on giving for me, or for y'all as well. Because, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Lord's real kind, and I got to go to Atlanta, Georgia yesterday to see the SEC championship game. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a Bulldog fan. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bulldogs got destroyed. They got destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. And you know what? I had an absolute blast watching it. It was great. It wasn't really that great when they were losing, but the whole experience was wonderful. Right, but here's the thing. I also got to go. I got to get there just before game day was over, which game day is like the pre-game talk show, for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, where there's these talking heads and they talk about football for like 3 hours before anybody ever even plays football. All right, and like guys like me love that kind of stuff, and so we watch it. And so there's these 3 guys, and we roll up at game day, and it's live, and it's going. And my sister got to go with me, and so Brooke and I are there, and we're watching. They're there, and they're on TV, and we might have been waving on TV. I don't know what happened, but nonetheless, here's the deal: at the end of the show, they all make their picks. Now, who's going to win the games? It's like the highlight, the climax of the show. Who's going to win? And all the guys made me a promise. The Bulldogs were going to win. All of them. It's the first time in like 90-something games Alabama has been an underdog to anybody. The Bulldogs are going to win. Touchdown favorites. And Lee Corso, I don't know if you know Lee Corso, you don't have to know Lee Corso, but Lee Corso's like Grandpa Corso on the show, wonderful, funny dude, but he always puts the headgear on of who he thinks is going to win, and typically whoever he puts the headgear on, the other team wins. So everybody picked Georgia, and then Corso picked Alabama, and so it was like, yes, we're going to win, we're going to win, because that's how it's supposed to go. And so I'm excited. The promise. Everybody said Georgia's going to win. And then I cried for like 4 hours watching Alabama slay them all up and down the field. And it was glorious. You see, many, 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 many promises are made to us that are unfulfilled and unsatisfying, even if they are fulfilled. You know what? If Georgia would have won that game yesterday, you know what I'd feel like today? Exactly what I feel like today. But the king that was promised for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, we can put our hope and faith and trust in this God who says, the king is coming, just you wait. And he came. And the light has shone in the darkness. The darkness hasn't overcome it. The king has promised. It's the longest point I promised. We got two more very quickly. The king is the perfect gift. Not only is he promised, but he is the perfect gift. In verses, back to Isaiah, verse 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Notice that. This language is, he's given to us. This is a gift from God. We didn't earn it. We didn't ask for it. We got this gift, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The king is the perfect gift. What I want us to see here is this is who he is. This is Jesus as the incarnate Son of God, as Creator God who spoke the world into existence, has now shown up in the form of a helpless babe. And he is the perfect gift. He's not like all the gifts that we've had in our lives that have let us down. Let us down. I told you guys I only had a few stories. Well, you guys have been around for a while. You know that, like, my wife and I, we struggle to give good gifts to each other. Like, we kind of just need to just stop. Recently, I don't quite know what we're doing this year, but a couple years ago, we kind of said, you know what, let's just stop trying to buy each other gifts and let's just agree on something that we want together and just buy it. So we got a bed a couple years ago, and we do things like that, because early in our marriage, we were awful at gift giving. Right, y'all can look at my lady. We're awful. It's horrible. I don't even remember all the horrible gifts I got her. They were bad. She could probably name them. You want the mic? You want to talk about it? A lot of bad gifts. I've tried to erase them from my memory because they were so bad. Like, and it's that kind of deal where you know how it is, right? You're real jazzed to give somebody a gift, and like you wrap that joker up, and then you give it to them. You're like, open, and they open it, and they're like, they're trying. You know how it is. They're trying. Like, oh, this is wonderful. I really wanted this. Not at all. I didn't ever want this, ever, is what they're saying. By all of their body. Like, this is the idea, though, right? And I remember, oh, this is the worst one. Now, I've already said I got my wife horrible gifts. I remember one time, I don't know if I said I wanted black boots, and I don't know what happened, but my wife, sweet, sweet baby dumpling, did I say, no, I'm going to owe her some money. I opened this gift under the tree, and my girl had gotten me some black cowboy boots. And I thought, like, are we married? Do you know who I am? I know that I owe her so much money right now. That's like 17 date nights right there, just for that one illustration. It's worth every one of them, baby. But seriously, though, I'm going, this ain't great. And She had about 17 others that were just as bad. The gift here, the son that is given, is the gift that we all desperately need, whether we want to admit it or not. He is the gift that we desperately need. And he is the only one who can fulfill all of the brokenness, all the mess, all the junk in our lives, all the craziness that's been going on the last 2 years, and all the sin even beyond that in our hearts and in our worlds and in our lives. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. He's a wonderful counselor. He's mighty God. He's everlasting Father. He's Prince of Peace. There will be no end to his throne and his rule. He is the perfect gift, the one that we need, the one that we want, and the one that we need. He is the only perfect gift. And he came. He was given to us by the Father as a gift. I don't think that can be overstated. I know that it gets kind of glossed over in our minds, and we get inoculated to it from time to time, or maybe all the time. But we were given Jesus as a gift. Like, we didn't deserve it. Rebellious. Part of the reason why there's so much darkness here in Isaiah 9 is because the people of God have just been straight up rebellious. All the kings were having a who can be the worst king competition. They're leading God's people into turmoil and disaster and brokenness because their hearts are wicked and messed up. And so are ours. And we're not doing anything to be on the nice list of our God. You know, we're all on the naughty list, undeserving. Don't deserve the gift at all. And he comes. We're given the gift. The king is the perfect gift that we all need, but it gets gooder. Everybody say gooder. Gooder. All right. Lastly, the king brings peace by his passion. Not only is he the perfect gift, that's who he is, but now we see what he does. He brings peace by his passion. Verse 7 again, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth forevermore. The zeal or the passion of the Lord of hosts will do this. The king brings peace by his passion. By his passion. So this king, this long anticipated, this long expected, this long awaited, glorious King Jesus has shown into the darkness. He's born of a virgin. He lives a perfect life. And then we know his passion is most on display on the cross of Christ, where he goes and he lays down his life. This is what our king does. Our humble, glorious, obedient, faithful, servant king. He lays down his life for the sheep that do not deserve it, who do nothing to earn it, but by his love, as we know from Romans 5:8. In this, he loved us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. This is how he showed us his love. He proved it to us. He didn't just say it. He proved it. And he proved it with his zeal, with his passion, his zeal for holiness, his love for his people, his desire for us to be freed, to be redeemed, to be bought back, to be delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. Even though we're running rebellious away from him, doing our own thing, thinking that all the gifts and all the things that we're running after in this life will bring us joy. And see, again, I said it earlier, but if the Bulldogs would have won yesterday and finished the year out complete, and I got to go to every game and enjoy it, the next day I'd be just as unsatisfied. Because we get the dreams, we achieve the goals, and we realize quickly they do not satisfy the depths of our soul. They don't atone for the brokenness in our lives. What Jesus does is brings peace by his passion that we're longing for, that we're looking for, that we're desperate for. And might I say that the world around us is absolutely desperate for. I mean, you guys know this. This is why we're constantly scrolling on social media, looking for something to bring us joy, something to satisfy us. This is in large part, we talked about this last week, this is when we talked about contentment, but this is in large part why we go nuts and spend billions of dollars during the holiday season to try to fill some kind of gaping hole in us or in other people to atone for our sins or theirs. I'm like, how many people this holiday season are trying to buy love in order to atone for their poor behavior? Like, this is what we're doing over and over and over again. We're working our tails off to earn it, to find peace, to find joy, to find satisfaction. And the promised king shows up on the scene, says, peace I bring to you. Rest in me. You don't have to earn it. In fact, you can't. Trust me. Hope in me. Find joy in me. Give me the praise for bringing you the peace. This is the King. Church, this is the King that we worship. This is the King that we sing Christmas carols to. This is the King that we put up Christmas trees for. This is the King that the twinkling lights show up and remind us of the hope that we have in Him, that a light has shone in the darkness. This King who's promised. This King who's the perfect gift. This King who brings peace by His passion, by dying in our place for our sin, by doing the work that we couldn't do. This King Jesus is the one we worship. This is the one we bow to. This is the one we are satisfied in, so we don't have to give obligatory gifts to each other during this holiday season. This King is the only one who can bring us joy, lasting peace, lasting value, lasting worth, lasting forgiveness. He and He alone can bring it, and He does. This is the long expected, hoped for, awaited King. He's promised. He's a perfect gift, and He brings peace. This is what He does. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, as Isaiah says, will do this. And so for you and I, we're on this side of Isaiah. We're on this side of the cross. And what we know is that just as Jesus came once, He's coming again. And so we sit in what theologians call this already but not yet fulfillment of all prophecy and all biblical redemptive history, where Jesus came and we find joy and peace and hope in Him, and we know that death has lost its sting and power, and so we don't fear it, and so we live courageous, gospel-centered, gospel-worthy lives, and we share this good news to the world. We, as my favorite Christmas song, go tell it on the mountain. Jesus is born, y'all. You don't have to go looking anywhere else for that gift to bring you satisfaction, because the King has been born. And guess what? Just as He came once, He's coming back. So even though things are awful at times in our lives and in the world we live in, we know this world is not the end. We have great hope. Jesus coming back. He's going to make all things new and right again. So during Advent season, this is what we hope in. Jesus came. He brought us peace. And until He comes again, we have secure peace in Him and a certain hope for the future that He will make all things right. So I have one question for us this morning, and that's this. How are you giving praise to this King with your life? How are you giving praise to this King with your life? If you're in here today and you're going, I've never even trusted this Jesus. I'm looking, I'm searching, I'm longing, I'm wanting redemption, I'm wanting hope, I'm wanting forgiveness from sin. Never received that. If that's you, the call for you today is bow your knee to the Lord. Repent, or that's the biblical fancy word for turn from doing things your own way. Change your mind because you realize I'm not king. The king is on his throne. He died in my place for my sin. I'm going to give him my life. This is what it means to follow Jesus. This is what it means to bow to him. And so do that today. He's a good king. He's the gift you're looking for. He's the only one who can bring you peace in your life. Trust in him. And if you've trusted in him, how are you giving praise to him through this and every season? How are you bowing your life to him? What do your rhythms look like in your everyday life, particularly during this season, right? We're all going nuts, running around crazy, shopping, getting the best gifts on Amazon, worried that we're going to run out of gifts, whatever it is. Like, we're going nuts. How are you bowing to King Jesus, resting in him, trusting in his peace, submitting to him? We talked about a whole sermon about it last week. Are you content in him? Are you resting content in this Jesus who alone brings peace? I'm not saying things aren't crazy. Don't hear me saying that. I'm not saying things aren't crazy. And you don't maybe have things to be like concerned about. What I am saying is that through the crazy, there's only one source of true peace. Rest in him. Hope in him. Find joy and peace in him. Be content in him. And then lastly, how are you giving praise to this king? Through sharing him with the world. Like we still, by the grace of God alone, live in a country, in a world, in a time in this world where I know people get offended if you say Merry Christmas. We're not talking about that. What I'm talking about is people understand that the world stops to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Y'all, we get to tell it on the mountain. This is what all this is about. Like yesterday, last one, I'm done for this week about Georgia. But yesterday, we're like, there's all this hoopla. And we got there, I told you, this game day and all this. They're like, open up the World Congress Center. It's SEC Fanfare Day, right? And there's like all these people paying lots of money to sponsor this event. And the band's coming in and they're going nuts. There's pep rallies and cheerleaders and 77,000 something fans. The show, the reason for all of that happens on a grassy field with 22 young men and a blown up piece of pigskin. That's what it's about. There's no hoopla if there's not a game. There's no any of that without the game. There's no any of the hoopla. There's no Christmas trees. There's no lights. There's no fun. There's no hot chocolate. There's no excitement. Without the birth of our Savior, we get to tell the world around us, our Savior's born. He's here. He's actually what you're looking for. How are you giving praise to King Jesus? Through shouting from the rooftops, he is alive and well. Trust him. How are you giving praise to King Jesus this morning with your life? He's a faithful king. He was promised. He's the perfect gift, and he brings peace with his passion. Let's pray together. God, we love you, and we need you. Would you do your work in your way in our hearts now, as only you can? Draw us more and more in love with you. Help us to bow again today to you in full submission. May we be people who, with our lives and our lips, declare to the world, Jesus is born. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Christ. Amen. So now I want to come to a time of response. Most of you know the drills. Many of you may not. But what we want to do now is I would encourage you to reflect on that last question a bit. Think about God's word to us through Isaiah and through John 1. And think about this promised king, and think about how you are bowing your knee in submission and praise to this king. What does that need to look like you in your everyday life this week? What does that need to look like you? How does that need to play out practically for you? And then when you're ready, in just a moment, Pastor Stephen's going to come lead us in communion and taking that together as a family. But before he comes, I would encourage you, if you're a follower of Jesus, while you're reflecting, come and grab the bread and the cup and take it back to your seat. And then Pastor Stephen will lead us in just a moment. So reflect, and then when you're ready, come and grab the bread and bring it to your seat. And Pastor Stephen will lead us out in just a moment. Let's continue to worship Jesus now.
Stand with me. Take the bread. Hold it in your hand. As we remember this morning, 1 Corinthians 11:23 says that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, we thank you. as we reflect on the mission that you accomplished that was only made possible by the breaking of your body. We receive that. We remember that. As you hold the cup, 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, in the same way, Jesus took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus, we praise you for every sacrifice, every spilt blood that preceded your blood. We praise you for the picture in Isaiah of your coming. We praise you for the agony that you felt for us as you bled on that cross. It should have been our blood, but your spotless blood is what we cling to and are washed by. We praise you for your blood. In Christ's name, amen. Church, we're going to continue to respond right now. I would ask that you would wait to go get your children until after we sing. Let's sing praise to our Lord.
Dark in the sky. myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Let's yes, we're free, free forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, we're free, free forever, we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began.
Can we thank them for coming? Thank you, guys. Thank you, blessings. Ah, wonderful. You can be seated just for a second. I have three quick announcements. If you're new here or you're interested in knowing more about our church, this afternoon we have what we call Sent 101. That is a place where the pastors communicate the mission and vision and strategies of our church. So if you would like to come to that this afternoon, please see me. I'll be out in the breezeway after we're done. As you see, we have a tree here. This is our angel tree. We're Good Baptist Church. We have an angel tree. Our angel tree is this year, we're focused on blessing and serving the ladies that need to be loved and encouraged and supported through Justice Ministries. These ladies have been through a lot, and we have the opportunity to bless them. Your family, you as an individual, have an opportunity to bless them. So this not only the ladies, also their children as well. So on this tree, here's opportunities for you to glorify God by blessing someone with a gift that may or may not be getting some gifts this year. So I'd encourage all of you, there's some very clear instructions here. Please grab an ornament from the tree. Bring that gift back by Sunday, December the 19th. Please bring it unwrapped, but please also bring the wrapping paper or gift wrap for that present, okay? Get a gift, don't wrap it, bring the paper, bring the bag or whatever, okay? Thank you, we're going to do that. And then the last thing is on December the 19th, we're going to be celebrating the gift that God has given us in small humans, baby dedication, okay? So we're going to glorify God by dedicating some babies to the Lord and some families to the Lord on the 19th of December. Just want everybody to be aware of that. Stand. I'm going to pray us out of here. Father, we praise you this morning for your great grace on us. We praise you for the story of rescue that you pulled off, that the willingness of your Son foretold entering into our world, his world, to suffer and die in our place. God, we praise you for the story. We praise you that you are that God. You are our God. We receive that. We worship you. God, I pray that you would continue to receive our worship this Advent season, that we would stop and that we would give the King what he is due, that our lives would show, even this week, around the tables that we eat at, that our lives would show and reflect, our speech would reflect citizens of a new kingdom, of a kingdom that has been established by our good King. God, use us this week. Help us to go tell it on the mountains. The mountains of our workplaces and the mountains of our neighborhoods, that we would be proclaimers of this good news. Use us as sent people in Christ's name. Amen. Church, you are sent.